Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this last day of this consecration, we are here again in the house of the Lord. Can I get amen? And we glorify your name, Lord, because you are good. I want everybody to say, the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Lord, we thank you because, you know, the Holy Ghost has been shed abundantly abroad for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. And everything, Lord, that you promised, we know we are living in the very promise. We see the fulfillment of the promises of God in our lives every day, even right now. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory. Hallelujah. And everybody says, amen. Now, Lord, we ask you in this message to glorify yourself, as always, Lord. And, you know, bless the people of God and let us go out here energized to do great things and great exploits for the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. As you know, this is the last day of our consecration. We generally break bread at the end of the service, so I'm going to keep this brief. But today I want to speak on just a little bit, Holy Ghost exploits. Now that's Holy Ghost exploits. So I'm going to start here. Now, if you remember, the theme of this weekend has been about the Holy Ghost, baptism, endowment with power, and so forth like that. On Friday, we gave a teaching about that. And yesterday, there was a ministration on that. And now that we all, you know about the Holy Ghost or have received the Holy Ghost, so what should we be doing? Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's talk about that for a minute. I want to start here in Daniel chapter 11. And I'm going to read verse 32. Actually, just quote from verse 32. I'm not even going to read it. But the last part of it in Daniel 11, 32 says, and the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah, people. So that's what we are going to be talking about this morning. And Pastor Emmanuel gave some examples of some exploits in the name of Jesus. And then we're going to be talking about, you know, exploits. Amen. You know, so, you know, remember, the theme of the weekend has been the Holy Ghost. You know, so we talked about, you know, what the role of the Holy Ghost should be in our lives and so forth like that. It's more than just speaking in tongues. We talked about that on Friday. And yesterday, the Holy Spirit was ministered to everybody. You know, so now that we have the Holy Ghost, and I want to tell every one of you that had, you know, hands laid on you yesterday, you have received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You know, so don't worry about it. You know, praise God. Because that's the way it was done in the book of Acts. And we believe that. You know, and then, you know, the Holy Ghost is going to start to manifest in your life and so forth like that. But, you know, now that we have the Holy Ghost and we have all this anointing and so forth, so what should we be doing? And that's what we are going to be talking about. I mean, the Lord gave the Holy Spirit just for us to come to church and sit down. And then Monday through Saturday, nobody knows anything about you. You know, nobody even knows that you exist. I mean, you go to school, you know, nobody knows who you are. You know, if you have the Holy Ghost, people must know who you are. Amen. That's right. You know, you need to stir up some things. You know, you got to do some things. You know, cause a little, you know, turning of things upside down and so forth like that. You know, that's what the, you know, Holy Ghost, he does. You know, and then, you know, you can't just sit still. You've got to tell about Jesus. You know, that's the first thing that Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8. He said, you shall receive power. In other words, you will be endued with, you know, all that you need to be my witnesses. And the first thing that happens, you know, when you have that Holy Ghost is you want to talk about Jesus. Because Jesus said that's what he's going to do. He said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall testify of me. You know, so that's what he does. And how do you testify? Now, in every generation, and every dispensation, the Holy Ghost adapts his role, see, whatever he's doing and so forth like that, with the church and so forth. In the first generation, when the church was first born on the day of Pentecost, You know, the Holy Ghost's role was to give witness to the resurrection of Christ. You know, because, you know, some people didn't even believe, you know, that he rose from the dead. You know, so they, and the way they proved it, you know, so that Jesus rose from the dead was by working a miracle in his name. That's the way they proved it. You know, you can't just say he rose from the dead, you know, and then it assume that everybody would believe. No. You know, they did not believe. You know, so they said, well, you know, we are going to show you, you know, that, you know, he rose from the dead, you know, and by working a miracle in his name. You know, and that's what they did. And they went about doing these things, you know, and the Holy Ghost and so forth. Now, Jesus said the Father promised the Holy Ghost and you should wait for it. You know, well, the Holy Ghost was already given, you know, so, you know, there is, we are no longer waiting for that promise. We have the promise. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's one thing that's wrong with many believers today. They are always waiting for something. Always waiting for something. You know, when Christ was coming the first time, see, all the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all of the, you know, the teachers that used to wear the long robes and everything, they knew all the prophecies. They knew everything that the Bible said, you know, about Christ coming, you know. And then when he came, point blank, right there under their noses, they missed it. Until this day, the Jews are still looking for the Messiah. You know, well, he came right there. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own rejected him. You know, because they are still always constantly looking for something else. What God is doing right now, people always miss. They are looking for something else. Is anybody still with me this morning? See, the revival is here. The Holy Ghost is moving already. You know, but some people are waiting for the Holy Ghost. Well, that was 2,000 years ago that they were waiting. See, the Holy Ghost is now giving. The Comforter has now come. What we need to do now is step out in faith. The Bible says, and they went everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming their word with signs following. See, God doesn't do anything if you don't step out. Praise God. Yeah, we all come here, we sing the praise and so forth. You know, how are you going to see, you know, some really sick people healed? Because there's no sick persons here. So you got to step out and do some things. Praise you in the name of the Lord. That's right. That's how you get it. So we will talk about, we'll show a few examples of people that had the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost moved upon them, you know, what they did, you know, and how, you know, great things happened. And we're going to use that to challenge ourselves. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says, let us consider this to provoke one another unto love and good works. You know, and that's what I'm doing today. I want to provoke you unto good works. I want to provoke you to step out tomorrow when you go to school and do something. On the job, do something. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if some, you know, if somebody all of a sudden says, you know, they got a stomach pain, they've got this, and they're going to say, hey, you know, Jesus can heal that. Amen? Oh, yeah. And you draw some attention. You know, they may not believe it, you know, but that's their business. That's their loss if they don't believe it. Amen? You know, but you stand in the name of the Lord, and you give a witness, and if they believe it, you pray in the name of the Lord, you know, and you'll see what the Lord will do. And I'm going to show you, you know, a few things, you know, on how to do that and so forth like that. So let's start here and look at some examples in the Bible of some things, you know, that people did that had the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, some of you may know that, of course, is David. You know, so, but I'm going to talk about him in just a little bit, but I may save that for the last because, you know, I like talking about David a lot, you know. But let me talk about a few others, you know, that had the Holy Ghost. And some of the things they did and so forth. You say, David had the Holy Ghost? Why, absolutely. You know, if he didn't have the Holy Ghost, how could he preach all of the things that he said about Christ? How could he say, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until, you know, I make all your enemies your footstool? How could he say, the Lord, you know, is coming, you know, after the order of Melchizedek? How could he know all these things? You know, praise God. You know, and even the apostles, when they were testifying, you know, in the New Testament, they made reference to David and said, David spoke by the Holy Ghost concerning the Lord. You know, so, you know, let's look at some of the examples of things that people that received the Holy Ghost or had the Holy Ghost moving upon them, you know, did. Now, in the olden days, you know, it used to be said that the Holy Ghost moved upon them and so forth like that, you know. And but we know that Jesus said he is with you and he shall be in you. So we have the Holy Ghost in us now. Amen? And we heard all about that yesterday. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, we heard about Sam saying also yesterday, but I want to give you a scripture reference in Judges chapter 15. And I want you to read all of it, but I'm going to read just a couple of verses in Judges chapter 15 and verses 14 through 16. Now, of course, a lot of things happened, and I don't want to go into all of that, you know, but, you know, there was a back and forth between Samson, you know, and the Philistines, you know, it was back and forth between them and so forth. You know, he'd do something to them, they'd do something, you know, come against him and so forth like that, you know. So, but in this place, you know, they came in, they told you, well, we've come to arrest you, we're going to bind you and so forth like that, you know. So he talked to them a little bit, and then all of a sudden, here's what happened. And when he came to Lehi, you know, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Amen? Amen. That's after they bound him up and so forth like that. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he began to do exploits. You know, he loosed the bonds, all the chains and everything that they had him bound with. And it fell off, you know, and so forth like that. And, you know, the thing that they bound him with, you know, was just like something that was burnt in the fire. It just burnt off like that. Everything got loose for him. You know, he became something else when the Spirit of God came upon him. And the Bible says, you know, he got a hold of a, you know, a jawbone right there. And he slew 1,000 of them. You know, I mean, one person, you know, like that against 1,000. And a few verses earlier, you know, we are told that he got a hold of 300 foxes. You know, I mean, how do you catch 300 foxes? I don't understand that. You know, you got to be moving really fast. I mean, foxes can move fast. Amen? And this man, he caught, you know, when the Spirit of God came upon him, he caught, you know, 300 foxes and set, you know, them on fire and sent them in the midst of the Philistines to do some damage. You know, so he did a lot of things and so forth. And David, you know, I'm going to talk about him in a few minutes. You know, one of my favorites that he, you know, when the Spirit of God moved upon him, he did so many great things. You know, and there's a song we sing here in the church that says, you know, when the Spirit of God comes upon me, I'm going to dance like David danced. And I'm going to sing like David sang. You know, well, I want to challenge you today that when the Spirit of God that is in you, now, since you have the Spirit of God is in you, like David, you know, you do a little more than just dancing. You do somewhat more than just, you know, singing. Amen. You do some exploits like David did. Praise God. So we're going to see some of the exploits that he did with the power of a Spirit of God. You know, so I'm going to come and read that in a few minutes. But let's talk about, you know, some of the disciples of Jesus. You know, like Peter. You all know the story of Peter. You know, I hope you do. And at one point in time, when Jesus was to be betrayed, in John chapter 18 and verse 25, we are told that Peter, you know, kind of stood afar off and went to a place and found a little fire there and was warming himself when Jesus was taken, you know. And then one of the maids, you know, there was a maid that came up against him and said, "You look like one of his disciples." And he said, "Oh, no, no. Oh, no. I'm not one of his," you know. And then, you know, that happened 3 times. You know, the Lord already predicted that anyhow. So he denied the Lord. You know, that was then. That was before the Holy Ghost. How many of you can say amen to that? Now, this same Peter that could not witness about Christ to a little maid. You know, that may sound like some of you here, you know, because you are afraid of peer pressure or whatever they will do in your school or whatever. You may not be popular and so forth. You know, when they say something about Christ, oh, you just keep quiet. You know, they'll say, "Oh, no, no, I'm not one of them. I'm not one of those holy rollers," you know, whatever, you know. But this same Peter, on the day of Pentecost, after that the Holy Ghost came upon him with the cloven tongues of fire, the Bible says that he prophesied to all of the people, right? Say, prophesy here, because he, you know, brought the word of the Lord. And he preached to those people. And he brought the prophecy of Joel in Joel chapter 2. And he said, what you're looking at here is not that they are drunk. You know, what you're looking at here is that these people are filled with the Holy Spirit, because this is the promise. And not only that, he indicted that whole generation. You know, he gave it right to them. He said, you crucified him. And told it to them. You know, this was the man who was so timid before that couldn't even witness to, you know, a maid. And in one day, 3,000 souls. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. From 1 hour of preaching, 3,000 souls were saved. Oh, and everybody else said, man, what are we going to do to be saved? And Peter, nothing was going to stop him after that. You know, Peter, he was somebody that liked adventure. You know, he always liked adventure, you know, so nothing was going to stop him. You know, so the next time he said, you know, so in chapter 3, so he said, well, John, come on, let's go to the temple. You know, so they go to the temple to pray and so forth. So they see this, you know, lame man there and so forth. So Peter said to John, hey, let's check this out, you know. And you know, this man, he lay there the whole time. You know, the whole time he's been there. You think that the man wasn't there when Jesus was there? He was there. That's probably one of the ones that Jesus left for Peter and John. Amen? That's right. You know. So he said, well, let's check it out. Let's check this out. So they come to the man, you know, and the man is every day, he's always asking for alms. You know, he's there in front of the temple, you know, asking everybody for alms and so forth. Now, some of you may know this story, you know, but there's one part that I'm going to read to you, you know, what Peter said. So if you turn with me to Acts chapter 3. And now these are some of the exploits of Peter after, and some of the disciples after that they received the Holy Ghost. So Peter said to the man in verse 6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh man, we need more of that in the church today. You know, everywhere you go, you know, what you have, you know, Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. What you already have, you can give. As a matter of fact, you cannot give what you don't have. Amen? That's the reason why there is no power, because a lot of people don't have the power. You know, and you know, but you know, I'm believing that this weekend has changed all of that in many lives. Amen, somebody? I'm believing that you have the power now. And I was going to show you how to exercise that power. That's what this little message this morning is all about. So Peter, he said, well, such as I have, I give unto thee. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, he made bold, you know. He didn't pray in the corner. Oh, no. Amen? He already done that. They were 10 days waiting for the Holy Ghost and fasting and praying and all that. Now the Holy Ghost has come. You know, so they are stepping out now. So they are not, you know, this is time for action. Rise up and walk, he told the man. Oh, and he took him out by the hand. And the next thing, you know, my goodness, because the man is like, rise up and walk. Are you kidding me? You know, I've been here, you know, almost all my life, and he was thinking, you know, so Peter didn't even give him a chance for his unbelief to set in. He took him by the hand, the Bible says in the next verse, took him by the right hand and lifted him up. So I don't care if you believe or you don't believe. Stand up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise God. You know, most people today, they hide behind somebody else's unbelief. They say, well, you know, if they, you know, maybe those who didn't believe. Well, we know if they don't believe, you know, then maybe God won't do anything. But, you know, Peter didn't wait to ask the man if he believed or not. Amen? Did he ask the man if he believed? He didn't say, do you believe that, you know, the Lord can do this? No, he just said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because they're going to show that this Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And he said, rise up and walk. And the man didn't rise up immediately. He just pulled him up. Didn't give him any chance. Pull the man up. Rise up already. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh my. And then the man said, my goodness. What is this? He began to run all over the place. Oh my. And that was, you know, Peter doing exploits. You know, Peter, you know, he loved those things. Amen. And listen to this in chapter 5 of Acts and verse 15. Some more stories about Peter. I just picked out a few. There's so much in the Acts. You know, I just picked out a few. In so much, Acts 5, verse 15, he said, let me start at verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, in so much that they brought forth the sick, see, onto the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the very least, the shadow of Peter passing by, hallelujah, somebody, might overshadow some of them. Oh my. There came also a multitude. You know, people already knew this Peter. They took knowledge of this Peter. They said, my goodness, you know, if Peter is coming, just line up. Amen. Line up the streets. When he's walking, his shadow alone, heal the sick. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh yeah, that's the difference that the Holy Ghost makes. Praise God. Oh, what a difference the Holy Ghost makes in the life of somebody like Peter, just a casual fisherman. You know, in fact, he loved to fish, you know, and he loved that more than anything else, you know, but look at how the Lord turned him around. Acts chapter 9. Verses 32 through 35. Just a few examples here of some of the things that this people did. You know, so Peter, this same Peter again, he went to a place, you know, called Lydia and so on. Lydia was, I don't even know how to say it, Latin. So he came there and he found a man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. And he was paralyzed. That's what silk of the palsy meant. He was paralyzed 8 years. You know. So Peter, I want you to notice something about Peter. Okay? You know. Here's what Peter is doing. You know, he's done with all that unbelief. He's done with all that doubting, you know, and so forth like that. You know, one time Jesus was on the water and, you know, Peter said, well, Lord, can I come out and play? You know, and the Lord said, come on, Peter. You know, so, and he came, and he was having so much fun. But, you know, when he doubted, he looked around and saw all the waves. Oh, my goodness, I can't walk on water. You know, and then he began to swim. I mean, he began to drown, you know. And but the Lord pulled him out. Now, that was then. This is the new Peter. Praise the Lord. This new Peter is not going to worry about you believe or you don't believe. He's just going to do his action. He is going to raise you up. If you are crippled, if you are in that bed, he's going to get you up in the name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't care about anything else. So he said to this Aeneas man, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make your bed. This man has been lying down for 8 solid years. And not anymore. Peter said, no, we'll change that today. Today is the day that you get off that bed. You know. And immediately, the Bible says, he arose. Hallelujah, somebody. And listen to what miracles like this do. You know, this is the focus of the short message I want to give you today, is what miracles, what is the purpose of this miracle? Is it just so that we can just do miracles and have some fun? No. Here's what happens when these kinds of things happen. The next verse, verse 35 of Acts chapter 9. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and they turned unto the Lord. Because they knew this man that was crippled for 8 years. And they turned unto the Lord. You know, I don't know. I haven't seen, you know, a whole city turn to the Lord. You know, but, you know, maybe a section of a whole city may turn to the Lord if they see a notable miracle. Amen? Amen? A notable miracle that is well known. You know, I have seen miracles like that, that, you know, a whole school almost turned to the Lord, you know, when they saw a notable miracle. But I'm not going to go into that today. But, you know, let me go here and finish up on this quickly, on some of the things that, and I may come back and tell you that if there's time, some of the things that these apostles did and so forth. Now let's talk about Philip. These were disciples of Jesus, hung around Jesus, and Philip was a man, you know, he'd been with Jesus so many years, 3.5 years at least, and he still didn't know who Jesus was. In fact, you know, he asked Jesus, you know, in John chapter 14, he said, look, you know, this business about the Father and the Son and all these things you keep telling us, you know, show us the Father already, you know? In fact, Philip was the only one that was bold enough to ask that. All of them wanted to ask, but they just, you know, but Philip finally said, look, okay, you know, just show us the Father. And Jesus said, my goodness, Philip, have I been with you all this time and you still don't know me? Isn't that like the church today? People come to church and they still don't know the power of God. You know, they still don't know the real power. Amen, somebody? This was the Philip then. That was then. But not anymore. After the day of Pentecost, you know, let's see what happened to Philip here and some of his exploits. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. And let's see some of his exploits. And, you know, he's going to challenge a whole city now. Philip is going to do that. So he went down to Samaria in Acts chapter 5 and verse 8. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And all the people with one accord, you know, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Now, why did they give heed? You know, is Philip going to be the first preacher? No. I mean, they have all those, you know, Sanhedrin that taught teaching their synagogues every day. You know, people don't listen to that, you know. But what is the reason why they listened and gave heed to Philip? Now let's read it in that verse, in verse 6. And all the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They would not listen to him if there was no miracles. He would just be another Joe Blow, blowing smoke. That's all it is. Amen? That's the same way that any gospel today that is devoid of the power of the Holy Ghost to heal the sick and to do all these miracles that the Bible said must be done in the name of Jesus, such a gospel means nothing and cannot convert anybody to Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. The gospel that brings the power of the Holy Ghost, that's the one that changes lives. You know, what are the kinds of things that Philip did? Well, unclean spirits, he said in verse 7, came out, crying with loud voice. And those that were possessed, you know, with devils and so forth, and many that were taken with palsies, and they were lame, they were all healed. This is a different Philip now, amen. He's going to take care of all the unclean spirits. He's going to take care of all the lame, whatever. Doesn't matter to him. Now he's got the Holy Ghost. Oh yes. And he's going to. Now the Holy Ghost is bringing to his remembrance all the things that Jesus said. See, because Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall, you know, lead you into all truth, and he shall bring to your remembrance all the things whatsoever I have said unto you. So Peter and all of these people, they are remembering how Jesus said, go and heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Freely you have received. Freely give. And how Jesus said, this time shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will do all these things and so forth. So Philip is remembering. And everywhere he goes, he said, oh my. Oh yeah, the Holy Ghost will bring it to his mind. Say, well, you know, yeah, cool. You know, amen. You know, he'll take care of business. And it's that simple. You know, you've got to believe God and step out in faith. That's how the exploits of the Holy Spirit happen in your life. You know, and there was great joy in verse 8. In that city. Can you imagine Philip? He changed the whole city of Samaria. How many of you say praise the name of the Lord? Oh yeah. And this man Philip, well, he knew a few more things, you know, and so forth like that. You know, he went down here after a little bit, you know, and then the Lord, the Holy Spirit leading him. And we told the people on Friday, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is to lead us. In fact, you know, as many as are led, the Bible says in Romans 8, you know, as many as are led by the Holy Ghost, they are the sons of God. You know, so, you know, Philip was led by the Holy Ghost here, and he was told to go down to, you know, a little ways, you know, and then, you know, he went down. It would look like almost a desert, you know. But when he got there, he found somebody riding a chariot. And the Holy Ghost said to him, well, you know, go join yourself to that chariot. And then he did, you know. So, and but there's going to be an experience that will happen, you know, to him in just a minute. Now, Romans 8:14 was that verse. You know, I just caught somebody wondering where that is. Romans 8:14 is where it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, so he joined him. Philip joined himself to this chariot, and the man was reading, you know, book of prophet Isaiah. He didn't understand. Philip explained everything to him. You know, but here's a notable thing that happened. You may or may not know this. You know, Philip, when he finished with this man, the Holy Ghost gave him a supernatural transportation. How many of you can say amen? Well, let me read it to you in case you are wondering, oh, did that really happen? Well, absolutely, it did. You know, here it is in Acts chapter 8. You know, let's read, you know, all of the things that he did and so forth. And then verse 39. And when they were come out of the water, you know, Philip, they found a little water. He baptized the guy after he taught him the scriptures, and the man believed. You know, when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And then you say, my goodness, where'd he go? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this is a change in the life of this one Philip that didn't even know who Jesus was. But when the Holy Ghost came, now all of a sudden there's revelation, there's power, there's miracles, there's supernatural transportation. Amen, somebody. You know, not everybody can boast of that, but Philip can boast of it. Amen. You know, he got supernaturally transported by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, these are people that lend themselves to the workings of the Holy Spirit and allow the Lord to do exploits in their life. Now, there was a man called Stephen. And people knew very little about Stephen except that he was a martyr for Christ. You know, and then they say, oh yeah, Stephen was stoned to death and so forth. But that's not all that happened to Stephen. There's a lot more. You know, let's see what Stephen did in Acts chapter 6. And I'm going to read just a couple of verses in Acts chapter 6 of what Stephen did. Let's start at verse 8. And Stephen, see, was full of faith and power, and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. Did great wonders and miracles among the people. Well, you know, we don't know, but, you know, Stephen could have been one of those people, you know, because he said, you know, well, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost came upon you. All right, so he's here. So he's receiving that, he's received that power, and he has the ability to go in and do great miracles. You know, the Bible says he did many miracles among the people. Now, Stephen, you might notice, was not one of the 12 disciples. You know, so you might say, you know, in case somebody says, well, you know, that was Peter and that was Philip and so forth like that. You know, they hung out with Jesus. Well, Stephen, we're not told, was one of them. You know, but he's somebody that believed, you know, through their preaching. Amen? Just like you who are sitting here today. You know, but he believed and he got a hold of God and he went among the people and did wonders and miracles in his everyday life. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. We don't need to wait until we come to church on Sunday before the sick are healed. We want the sick to be healed every day, Monday through Saturday. When you are at school, when you are at work, when you are in the grocery store. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Next time you go to the grocery store, if you see somebody in there that's riding one of those grocery carts, you know, wheelchairs. Amen. You do like Peter did. You might cause a little opera, but you might bring the whole city to Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. That's right. Yeah, well, you know, this kind of miracle, you know, will not happen unless you step out in faith. You know, and Satan's number one tool is fear. You know, he'll say, well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, see, you know, you haven't started exercising the Holy Ghost you know, really, that's the reason why you have any fear. Once you start exercising and letting the Holy Ghost do these things, you will begin to understand that it is the Holy Ghost that's doing it. It is not you. You just have to be a vessel that He needs to use. You just need to present yourself, make yourself available for the Holy Ghost to do it through you. And then you won't worry, you know. But it takes a little practice. You practice at home. Next time when your mom is sick or whatever, you lay hands on her. Hallelujah, somebody. Command that, headache or backache or whatever it is. Get out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. And when somebody is sick in your family and so forth, you know, you try a few things around the house. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. In fact, next time you hear a howling dog or something that's, you know, aggravate your spirit in the neighborhood, you go to the dog and say, shut up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. It'll work too. I guarantee you. I've tried it before, you know, so praise the name of the Lord. Now, you know, God will do all kinds of things. In fact, one time I planted my wife will remember this, we planted, when we first moved to our house, we planted, you know, some trees and so forth, and one of them died. You know, and I was unhappy about it. And I went there and said, you know, in the name of the Lord Jesus, praise God. And the next thing I know, you know, I think I put a prayer cloth or something on that, and I prayed over that plant. It was dead, you know. The next thing I know, that thing outgrew the rest of them. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah! There is nothing that God cannot do. I don't care if it has life or doesn't have life, they obey Him still. Jesus one time said, He looked at a tree that should have brought forth fruit and didn't find any fruit, and He said, well, that's it. You're done. Amen? And the disciples looked at Him because nothing apparently happened. They said, well, I don't know about this. You know, I think this man, this time, you know. But they came back the next day, and they saw that the tree was withered away. You know, and Jesus just said it and went about it. You know, He didn't care about, you know, He knew it would happen. And it happened right away as soon as He said it. But it took some time for the tree to wither away. How many of you understand that? He died immediately at the root when Jesus said it. Praise God. And that's the way it works. You know, as soon as you say the word and believe it, it shall come to pass. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, so Philip, Stephen, and all of these people. Now look at something else that happened to Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, some of you may be more familiar with this part of the story. In verses 55 and 57. But Stephen, he preached a mighty sermon to these people, and he pricked their hearts. He indicted them up, left, right, and center. You know, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. You know, like dogs, the Bible said, you know. And, you know, they took up stones to even stone him. You know, but he, verse 55 of Acts 7, being full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, somebody. He looked up steadfastly into heaven. Well, that's one of the things that the Holy Ghost will do, you know, in the face, you know, even of death and so forth like that. He'll give you that boldness. Hallelujah. And Stephen, he stood up. He looked up. He said, my goodness. Oh my. And the heavens opened up to him, and he saw Jesus. Oh my. And you know something about that? We know that Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God and so forth, the Bible says, and but this time around, no. Jesus is standing up to give Stephen a standing ovation. How many of you say hallelujah? You didn't see Jesus sitting down. He saw Jesus standing. My goodness, the greatest thing that you can do with your life is to give your life for Christ. Not many of us are called to do that, you know, but what God has called you to do every day is to live for Christ. That is a list that you can do. Amen. You want to sit on the same throne that Stephen and all of these people sat, you know, and so we'll sit and so forth. Well, they were called to do that, you know. And Stephen, you know, Jesus stood up and gave him a standing ovation. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And Stephen, he laid down his life and he said, you know, and when you're full of the Holy Ghost, like Stephen, this is what you will do. In verse 60, and he kneeled down. And he cried with a loud voice, you see, and said unto God, Lord, lay not this to their charge. Hallelujah, somebody. Well, that's the difference between Stephen that is full of the Holy Ghost and somebody that was not full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, one time, you know, the disciples, they were not full of the Holy Ghost at all. You know, they said, well, shall we call down fire upon them and destroy them and do all of these things? Jesus said, you don't even know what kind of spirit that is. You know, but when the Holy Ghost comes, you're going to be like Jesus. Jesus hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. That is what the Holy Ghost will bring into your life. He will bring, that's the eyes of the Father, where you will look beyond their unbelief. You will look beyond their faults. You will look even beyond the fact that they are stoning you. And you will say, Father, forgive them. And lay this not to their charge. Now, if Stephen would have prayed and said, Lord, I want you to send angels and smite them, God would have done it. He would have done it. But Stephen, a more excellent way. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. A more excellent way. Just like Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what the Holy Ghost will do in your life. Now, you know, I want to go back to David, and I'm going to close with this. Like I say, you know, we sing about David. When the Holy Ghost, he comes down. There's many more stories in the Acts of the Apostles, but I don't have time to do all of that today. But I want to tell you something. There is a second book of Acts that is in progress. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Oh yeah. One time I said it's Acts chapter 29, but the Lord said, oh no, you know, it's a whole book. Hallelujah. You know, of everyday people that have the Holy Ghost in them, that are doing exploits all over. You know, you may not be hearing about it because you are not tuned in to what God is doing. That's probably why you're not hearing about it. If you're tuned in to what God is doing, you will be hearing about it. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, so it's happening. It's a new book of Acts. This time it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The acts of the Father through the sons. You know, they're doing great things all over the place. And it's happening every day. And these are ordinary people. And I want to challenge all of our young people that are here. You know, don't be looking like you were challenged yesterday. Don't be thinking that it's only going to be the pastor or pastors or teachers or evangelists or all of this. It is everybody. Peter said, this promise is unto you. And to your children. And to all that are far off. As many as the Lord our God shall call. And even Joel, he prophesied, he said, your sons and your daughters, they shall come to pass, saith the Lord, in the last days. I will pour out my spirit among all flesh. Did the Lord say that? Has he done it already? Praise God. He has done it. He began on the day of Pentecost. Peter quoted it, and it's still happening today. And if you are those sons and daughters, he said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. We need to see all these young girls, all of you sing up on the platform here, and all of you and so forth, begin to prophesy in the name of the Lord. Amen. We need to see the young men begin to bring forth visions. Because you see, your young men shall see visions. Praise God. The old men who like to sleep and so forth, they might get some dreams. Amen. I don't like sleep at all. Because the Bible says, give not sleep to your eyelids. I don't like sleep at all. A little sleep and a little slumber. A little folding of the arms. So shall that poverty. Oh yeah. Come upon you. You know. Some of you like a lot of sleep. Well, sleep is good in the natural, a little bit. Everything in moderation is good. But if you like to just sleep, you know, and sleep and sleep, you know, it'll catch up with you. You know, you bring that same laxity spirit even into spiritual things. Wherefore he said, awake that thou sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so a little sleep is good, but you know, don't overdo it and so forth. Now let's talk about David real quick. Now David, so many exploits, you know, in 2 Samuel, you know, but I'm going to read I'm going to read it from Psalm 18. You know, some of the things that he did. Let's read just a few of it from Psalm 18. And hear his own testimony of Psalm 18. Praise God. And he's going to talk about the things that God did in his life. And some of the things that, you know, he went, we've heard about some of it today, you know, how he went up against the bear and the lion and Goliath and so forth. And you heard me preach about that several times. You know, but in Psalm 18, if you want to turn with me to Psalm 18, and I'm going to start here in verse 28. He said, "For thou, O Lord, will light my candle." That's what happens when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. "And the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Jesus said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." "For by thee," now notice all the things, the exploits that David did by the Holy Ghost. "For by thee I have run through a troop." Can you say amen to that? A whole troop. David ran through them. Didn't bother him at all. "For my God, by my God, I leaped over a wall." Nothing could stop him. How many of you say amen? You know, some of you didn't know that maybe David did all these things. You know, he said, "As for God, God's way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and he's a buckler and a shield to all those that trust in him." You know, "For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock?" Oh yeah, save our God. "It is God that girded me with strength." See, when the Holy Ghost come upon him, strength came upon him. And he began to do great exploits. Listen to some of the exploits that he did, you know. And he said, you know, "He makes my feet like hinds' feet," you know. All of a sudden, you know, David can run faster than anybody else, you know. "And he setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to walk." See, in another place he said, "Even my fingers to fight." You know, he said, "So that a bow of steel is broken by my arms." Hallelujah, somebody. Some of you didn't know that David did these things, you know. He did these things. Some of these supernatural strength, he took a bow of steel and he broke it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, oh my, he did all those too, you know. And he said, "Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand has holding me up, and thy gentleness has made me great." Oh, hallelujah. "Thou hast also enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies, and I have overtaken them." Those are some of his exploits. You know, he didn't care who they were. He didn't say, "Though a host should encamp around me, in this will I be confident." You know, I'll do, you know, I don't care. You know, they'd be around me like bees and so forth, but I'll blow them away in the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. "I have wounded them that were," you know, "they were not able to stand up." See? Hallelujah. "Say, I will not even turn again until they were all consumed." Hallelujah. "For thou hast guarded me with strength unto the battle, and thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me." You know, all of this because the Holy Ghost came upon him. So the next time you sing that song, "When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, I will dance like David danced," well, you know, put in another verse and say, "When the Spirit of God comes upon me, even as it has, even as it is this day, I will do the same exploits that David did." Hallelujah, somebody. I will do the same exploits that the disciples did. Hallelujah. Praise God. "For thou hast given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. That cried, there was none to help them," and so forth. "And I beat them small as the dust of the wind. And I did cast them out as the dirt of the streets." Oh my goodness. David, lots of exploits. "Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people," and so forth. And then he, listen to what he said again. He said, "A people whom I have not known shall serve me." Can you say amen to that? As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. Well, you know, you can begin to put some things into practice in your life. And you say, well, you know, here's what the Lord said that we should do. And then you just step out by faith and begin to do it. You know, that's the only way that it works. And when you hear somebody give a challenge, give a testimony, you know, like Pastor Emmanuel gave today of some of the things that he did in the name of Jesus, you know, that should challenge you to do the same thing. Amen. Challenge you to do the same thing. You go out and you believe God. You know, and there's a song that says, "It is no secret what God can do. What is done for one or through one, he can do for you or through you." Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In fact, I remember the story of a young man one time, you know, when I was in high school and so forth. You know, he heard about some great thing that the Lord did you know, through us. And then he jumped out and said, well, I'm going to go do the same thing. And that, you know, one of the things was, you know, my wife and I, you know, we were not married then. You know, we went out one day and we saw a crazy person, you know. And back in Nigeria, when you say somebody's crazy, they are really crazy. Amen? Amen? And this man was in the, you know, it was kind of like this man in the tombs, you know, that the one that had legion that Jesus healed, you know. And he had a territory that nobody would pass by that place. You know, and everybody, when you came to that side of the street, you had to cross over on the other side because you dare not go on that side because this man will pounce on you, tear you up. You know, and he terrorized that place for a long time, you know, until one day. And then, you know, we were going down there and so forth. And as soon as we came up on that place, I remember that this man was over there and I crossed over to the other street, the other side of the street. You know, I said, oh my goodness, this man. You know, so I just took around and crossed over to the other side of the street, you know. But the Holy Ghost said, you have got to be kidding. Amen? I said, well, you know, Lord, I was just taking care of my woman here, you know. So I went back, you know, and I challenged the spirit. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of him. Hallelujah. And they wrecked him and did all kinds of things. Well, to cut a long story short, this man, he came back to his right senses. And he said, my goodness, where am I already? And I said, well, and we took him to the Salvation Army. And so forth. My wife remembers the story very well. We took him to the Salvation Army, gave him some clothes that day, and he went to fellowship. Praise God. We took him to our fellowship. And then, so one day, you know, so as I was giving the testimony in the fellowship, one young man, he said, nah, brother, you have to do that? Oh, I'm going to go out and look for a crazy man. Praise God. You know, that's what these testimonies will do for you. Provoke one another unto love and to good works. Praise the name of the Lord. And he went out looking for a crazy person. He searched everywhere. So I got to find me a crazy person to heal. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, that's how God does great things. You know, when we challenge one another. And you can bring deliverance and great things to your school through miracles, you know, that you do. Even at your school, even at your job, and so forth. And these things are still happening today. Praise the Lord. You know, that's why I love it more so when I go out on the field, you know, like when we went to the Philippines and Tanzania, you know, we see more miracles there, you know, in those kinds of things. And that's the best times of my life when you're out there doing those things because you just see miracles upon miracles, you know, people healed, life right and center, you know, just constantly, you know, praise the name of the Lord Jesus. But in your city and in your school, you can bring great joy by doing a notable miracle. One time, you know, high school, and this is the thing, yeah, I'll close with this, you know, when I was in high school, there was a man that sold this Samco milk, or fan milk, whatever, some of you might know what it is. Anybody remember Samco, or fan chocolate milk, or something? Anyway, he had a bicycle thing that he sold this, and the man was, you know, deaf and dumb. His name was, I believe, Sam. And nobody, you know, everybody loved him because he couldn't speak and he couldn't talk. And he sold this and people patronized him. Everybody bought, every student in the school, it was the Federal School of Science in Lagos back many years ago. Every student in the school, you know, knew him and they bought this thing from him and so forth. You know, so, and he had been there for years. He was there before I got there. He'd been there, you know. One day, amen. One day, the whole school almost turned to Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. Because this one day he came to our fellowship. And that was the last day for that deaf and dumb spirit. And this man, he jumped out, you know, he said, Jesus. And he ran out there. And he began to shout and began to sing. And the whole school followed him because they knew him for years. And the next thing we know, you know, we had a small classroom like this where we used to have fellowship. The classroom couldn't contain us. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, we need miracles. And we need the power of God. We need some people to step out and challenge the forces of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And if you will only believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I remember, you know, when we were in the Philippines a couple years ago, there's a woman there with breast cancer, stage 4, you know, and we prayed for her. And I prayed for her the first, I don't know, what night of the crusade was, you know, and so forth. And I didn't hear the testimony about, you know, that until almost 2 years later. You know, but I think I read the letter to the church here. Some of you might remember that. She finally wrote and sent an email that she was healed that night, but she didn't get a chance to testify. And the woman became an evangelist.
Hallelujah.
In fact, that's the reason why the whole church in the Philippines, the GMI Church of Atlanta, they're doing a lot better than us because of that woman. They're just filling the place in bounds, and she's going out. In fact, she went home, her whole family, there were about 8 of them, were converted to Christ because of that miracle. You know, and then she just went from city to city, and many people knew her. And she gave her testimony, you know, from the doctors and all of this thing. And he said, wow. And she said, wow, you know, I went for prayer, you know, I was healed. And she became an evangelist. And she turned many people to Christ. And we need real miracles like that. And she wrote an email, you know, which I read to the church a few months ago. And said, this and this happened. I said, wow. And I didn't even know about that then. Of course, I prayed for her. I believed the Lord, you know. And I said, you know, go to the doctors and have it checked out, you know. And then she didn't have a chance to come back. You know, but the miracle happened nonetheless. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. And even right here in this church, we've seen some wheelchair cases healed, you know. And we know that the power of God is still real. Praise God. But I want you to take the challenge. Starting today. Amen? You know. Now, you must walk in His ways. Hallelujah. Or you can't mix up the ways of the world, you know, with this power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's not going to work. You know, you must walk in His ways. Hallelujah. Walk in the light as He is in the light. You see, then you step out in faith and you say, you know, to any situation at all, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let that situation be turned around. And all you have to do is say, let it be. That's all you have to say. Because that's what God said. Let there be light. And there was light. Let there be such and such. And there will be such and such. And Jesus said, if you can believe it and say it, you shall have whatsoever you can say and believe for. So let's stand to our feet here this morning. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. A short exhortation here for us this morning. I want you to take the name of Jesus and go. Go to your schools. If you hear that somebody is having a problem, you know, go pray for them. In fact, you go to the, we used to do this when I was a young man. We used to go to the hospitals and so forth like that and cause a lot of uproar. We, you know, we even went to one mental hospital in Nigeria and caused all kinds of uproar there, you know. And, you know, you can do that. You can go in and use the name of the Lord Jesus and heal the sick. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord is God over all His creation. It's not just the sick. It's anything at all. Praise God. Anything at all. Use your faith around the house. What do you think Jesus was doing for 30 years? You know? Think about it. What did He do exactly for 30 years? Because He learned how to be a man. That's one thing. Amen? And He learned obedience to His mother in the house. And to Joseph as well. He learned that. Amen? Learn how to be a carpenter too. Learn all of those things. You know, I guarantee you, but, you know, even though they didn't talk about His public miracles because nobody knew, I guarantee you, Mary saw a lot of things in the house. Because when they came and asked Him, you know, about the water that was turned to wine, what Mary said was, look, you just do whatever He says. Amen? Because she already seen some things, you know. But Jesus told her, you know, you keep quiet. My time is not yet. You say nothing now. Amen? And every time in the house, oh yeah. You know, He did some things, you know. So you begin to do some things in your house. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. In fact, we are told that even all the miracles that Jesus did, if they were to write books, that, you know, couldn't fill them up. But He was only there for 3 years. You know, oh yeah, I guarantee He was doing a lot of things in those 30 years. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Every day in your house, you can do a miracle in the name of Jesus. God can use you to do something. pray for the sick, you know, work a situation and do some whatever. Praise the name of the Lord. And even things that have no breath, they can obey you if you have the faith. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands. I'm challenging everybody today to believe God and to step out in faith. See the same works that the apostles did. And see even the ordinary people like Stephen and so forth. See all the miracles and great things they did. See the Spirit of the Lord that moved upon, you know, David and Samson and Jephthah and all of these people that the Bible talks about in Hebrews 11. And see all the great things they did. You know, and even some of the people in the Old Testament, just by believing God. But how much more now in our days? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't back down from anything. Step up to the plate. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. I know I don't back down from anything. I'll pray, you know, I'll minister to anybody, sick, dead, living, doesn't matter to me. Praise God. You know, I'll pray for any dead person. I don't care. You know. If the Lord tells me, I'll do it. You know, moves me upon me, or, you know, especially, you know, I'll do it too. You know, and if, you know, except He tells me not to do it, because we showed you on Friday how the Holy Ghost told them, don't go over to Asia, don't go over here to Bithynia, you know, and so forth. You just wait. And then in the night, you know, He told Peter, you know, I mean Paul, in a dream, came up to him and said, come over to Macedonia and help us, because that's where they wanted him to go. So the Lord will lead you and so forth. But if the Lord doesn't tell me to do it, I'm going to step out and use my faith. Amen. Yes. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And I want to be right with God when I meet the Lord. You know, I want to be able to say, Lord, I use my faith. Praise God. And if you use your faith, it'll work. It works all the time. Praise God. The only time it doesn't work is unbelief. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, thank you for the endowment of power. Raise up your hands and believe God. Those of you who are here throughout the meetings this weekend, you have received that power, no doubt. And many of you have received this endowment of power even in earlier days and earlier years of your life. But you need to step out and let God begin to use you. In your schools, at your job, even in the grocery store, no matter where you go to the car wash, you go everywhere, you know, you challenge people, you know, and let the name of the Lord work for you as you bring glory to God. And every miracle that you do in the name of the Lord Jesus will cause the people to come to Christ. That's the whole purpose. Praise ye the name of the Lord Jesus. And when you do such a miracle, like Peter and John, you know, they wanted to say, my goodness, you guys are gods, you guys. Peter said, oh no, don't you think nothing about that. He said, I'll have you know that the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man whole and given him this perfect soundness that you see here today. And so you give testimony to the name of Jesus. Every time somebody says, wow, goodness, say, well, that's the name of Jesus for you. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap in here this morning. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap and a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we are going to go in the name of the Lord. We are going to take the city for Christ. Hallelujah! One man sometimes said, you know, Caleb, he said, we are able to go up and take the place. Joshua said, we are able to go up and take the place. Now, the people of unbelief, they said, oh, we can't do it because the people are giants and so forth. Joshua said, and Caleb, he said, they are like lunch, bread for us, and we shall eat them up. If the Lord be with us, we are able to go up. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Praise God. And we are able to go up. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Lord, He will start working with you and changing you from glory to glory. As you step out, greater things will follow. In Jesus' mighty name. You know, but you must practice. Practice the Spirit of the Lord. Practice listening to Him. Practice these miracles, and it will go from glory to glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to close by singing this song, From Glory to Glory, He's Changing Me. He's changing me in the image of His Son, the likeness of His Son, into the glory of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. From glory to glory, He's changing me.